The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
And Draymond Green is running it back after USWNT star Megan Rapinoe criticized his controversial comments on the lack of support for women's sports in their fight for equal pay as male athletes. Dray responded saying, quote, "At the end of the day, what Megan wants and what I want is the same thing. And if she believes that doing something a certain way gets her to the end goal, I'm all for it. And if I believe doing something a certain way gets to the end goal, I'm all for that. So if we can both do something to move the needle to get to the end goal, great. I have no complaints with whatever it is that she wants to do or any woman athlete or anyone that's trying to help drive their cause and what they want to be done. It doesn't really matter to me how you get there. What does matter to me is that we get there." Janae, I'm going to start with you because we heard last week he was all over the place with his comments. Now really backtracking a little bit. So you good with this explanation?
Thank you, Day-Day. Thank you, Draymond. Now, I did watch the video. It was 13 minutes long of his comments. And as always with Draymond, the passion is there. And I really appreciate that. And I think that that's the most important thing. Passion for all of us to grow. The men's game, the women's game, we're all one together because we're all, you know, striving to be our greatest versions of ourselves as professional athletes. And again, to some degree, what Draymond Green is trying to say is right. We want investment. We want our stories to be told. We are absolutely on the same team, and I appreciate that. I just think sometimes the delivery doesn't really match, you know, the intention, and that's where things can get, you know, confused. We can help him, though, by having these conversations. If our goal is for the game to grow and we need everyone, you know, in the same mission working together, if you support us, let's talk about it so we can bring you up to speed on the work that is actually being done, that's been done in the past and being done currently, that really needs to be amplified. And so for better or for worse, I think, you know, this conversation is good to keep everything top of mind. I think, you know, especially after having and experiencing his thoughts and a lot of the public thoughts and everyone on social media, I immediately am brought back to today, you know, the legacy of Kobe Bryant, who did not say what he was doing or what the problem was, but he chose to show up at games with his beautiful daughters. He trained us in the off season, WNBA players, top women's hoopers, you know, at his facilities. And, you know, my coach is Derek Fisher, and Kobe even reached out to us, the LA Sparks, at an event and kicked it with us. He knew each and every one of our games because he had the passion for it. And, you know, he gave us championship level advice and wisdom. And that's exactly the energy that moved the needle. And that's why we miss him dearly, because we need as many allies, however loud, we need as many allies as possible. We need as many accomplices as possible because we're doing it together. But, you know, it's always great to have some help. And so I appreciate Draymond for clarifying. And I do think we, you know, Draymond does need a translator at some points, but I think his heart is in the right place.
Janae, his heart is definitely in the right place, which we all appreciate. I think the key with allyship is the volume of your voice. When it starts detracting from the people that you say that you're trying to, you know, walk beside or help. And I think the importance of how you deliver messages, you said the word delivery. Delivery is key, because I spent more time this week talking about Draymond Green than I have in my entire life, between our podcast, between First Take, between your show, right? Janae and Golic. I'd have talked about this man. And I think, and that's what kills me, because I think it's obvious his heart is in the right place, but a lot of people on social media and in the public came with the same energy, like, see, Draymond Wright, all those women, all they're doing is complaining. And I feel like that's the danger of the wrong delivery. So yes, maybe there does need to be a Draymond translator out there. But you talk about, you bring up the Kobe point. It's about how do you use your platform, give the platform up? Like, how do you take your sway and give it to somebody else that you want to help. It's not just talking about, oh, what they're doing doesn't work. And I think that was what was very frustrating about it. I have no doubt that Draymond has your number. He can call you up. He can ask the WNBA players. He can ask other women athletes, how can I be of service? How can I help? How can, you know, when I do deals or when I, you know, when I'm doing marketing or merchandising deals, how do I also align with the rest of you? Like, those are tangible steps. And I'm not trying to force Draymond to do anything, but I'm just talking about the action behind the words. You know, you want the action to be louder than the voice sometimes.
Kimberly, you brought up a great word, complaining, because, and you women understand this, if you speak up for yourself, you can be regarded as complainers. You can be regarded as being bitchy from that standpoint. And if anybody should know better than to put that word out there regarding Megan Rapinoe, it should be Draymond Green, because of his mother, Mary Babers, who is a very strong woman, who has always been very strong in her opinions and telling the truth. I'll never forget, I had a conversation with Draymond Green about 4 years ago, right after the Golden State Warriors were in the middle of their run of winning championships. I said, where does this come from with you being unafraid to speak your mind? He said, when you grew up in my household with Mary Babers, you better speak your mind and know what the blank you're talking about. So if anybody should have had a problem with Draymond Green saying that way, it should have been Draymond Green based on his environment and the environment where he came from. Because Mary Babers, based on what he has said about her and what I've seen about her, she does not hold her tongue, but she's always going to come from a place of honesty. That's not to say that Draymond was not coming from a place of honesty. To your point, Janae, he needs a Draymond interpreter. There's Draymond speak, and then it needs somebody to tell Zach what the hell he meant when he said what he had to say. But anytime I always hear about somebody talking about a woman speaking up for herself, oh, she's complaining too much. What has she got to complain about? I'm like, dude, stop worrying about being or worry about she's a female and listen to her message or listen to anybody's message, what they're trying to get across. And if it seems as if it's not based on something that's a baseline of truth, then you just shrug it off. But if somebody's coming from a place of, hey, there's inequality here, there's a complete disparity when it comes to male, female, minorities, anything else. Listen to the message and listen to what the person has to say before you try to dismiss it because you don't want to hear it. So if anybody should have had a problem with Draymond's message, it should have been Draymond Green, based on the fact that his mother never held her tongue. And if she felt somebody was being disrespected, or if Draymond was being disrespected, or if she was being disrespected, she would speak up. So, yeah, everybody can have a problem with Draymond Green and going on a 10-minute backtracking against Megan Rapinoe. But in my opinion, the one person that should have had a problem with that should have been Draymond Green, because he grew up around a mom that did not hold her tongue to speak out on what was right and especially with what was wrong.
Yeah, and I want to get in here for a second because we talked about this at length yesterday on Shanae and Golic Jr.'s radio show. I thought that it was interesting that Draymond Green felt so passionately about this subject in the first place. I mean, he really, there was so much energy and passion that went into his remarks about women complaining and really not doing anything in terms of getting themselves to where they want to be. So that was the first thing that struck me as odd. But Draymond Green should be one of the first people to realize that this isn't just about what women are doing and in what they're receiving in return. I mean, the NCAA tournament just recently was a great example of this. When we looked at the women's and the men's weight rooms and compared the two, no comparison. I mean, there were such stark differences. And it was Steph Curry, one of Draymond's teammates, who brought a lot of attention to this and was like, whoa, NCAA, what's going on here? You know, he realizes that there are some inherent things that are given to women, you know, and realizations that women are kind of raised to believe that they aren't equal and they don't deserve the same things that men have, even if they're doing the exact same things and they're their counterparts. So I just thought it was very odd that Draymond didn't see this when so many people around him have. And Megan Rapinoe said it great. She's like, what are you talking about? We have been screaming this at the top of our lungs. So I'm happy that he backtracked and rephrased maybe what he meant. But it still rubs me the wrong way, and the whole situation is just, great.
Well, look at you three ladies having the First Take, Her Take podcast. If you had told me, and I've been at ESPN Radio close to 17 years, if you had told me that management of ESPN Radio would have been that thought-provoking to say, let's give these three women a podcast, I'd say, okay, the world has completely ended. Because for the longest time, it was always going to be a male-dominated field, and it still is a male-dominated field. But why would you not want to hear different voices? I don't care if he or she has a radio show, if I don't want to listen to somebody, I don't base that on gender. I base on that person know what the hell they're talking about. I don't want to be bothered anymore. So for the longest time, when people say, well, who wants to hear a woman talking about sports? I'm like, there's some dudes I don't want to hear about talking about sports. So the fact that we're at this point right now where we can have these different voices and people can have a chance to hear different perspectives, male, female, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, whatever, we've gotten to that point that people can no longer just ignore that. And that's why I had a problem with Draymond Green saying that. If anybody should have known better, and we all going to misspeak, no one's perfect. I'm not going to be on the pious box here and say that everything I say is perfect. But when you say something like that and you realize the value of your words and that people are going to hear that, then you go back to where you came from, because I guarantee you Draymond Green's mother would not have put up with that if somebody told her that. So her son saying something like that and then having a 10-minute quicksand moment where the more he wriggled, the deeper he sank. If anybody should have known better about that, it should have been a Draymond Green, especially when it comes to matters of gender and especially when it comes to matters in sports.
Well, hopefully
that's the language that Draymond knows and understands being challenged. One of our favorite gifts is when he's explaining to Kevin Durant, and that was just dissected on that podcast. Like, he is a very confrontational person, and he got that from his mom, and he responds well to being confronted, which is why you saw the plethora of women, especially Megan Rapinoe, that came back at him. And so I this is the language that he understands, but Kimberly is right. Using your platform, it's sometimes you realize that that platform can disseminate the wrong versions of information instead of using it to amplify the right versions. And Charlie, to address what you were bringing up earlier, he was having this discussion because he was so excited about the women's Final Four and the women's tournament and how we've had key moments, the controversial call between UConn and Baylor. And he's like, this needs to be showcased. This needs to be seen. We even had Stephen A. say on his show, hey, like, we've got to do better collectively. And I think our network does a great job, but we can always improve. And, you know, it always comes back to, as women, we're breaking out of the mold of what society has forever known. Forever, we've been told and conditioned to be, you know, to appreciate everything that we're given. We've been told to be grateful for everything that we're given, knowing that, hey, you know, you don't drive the revenue, or hey, implying that you're less than when you see the weight room. But the reality is, society needs to be brought up to speed that we are the best at what we do, whether it is in the women's tournament, whether it is professional ranks, not just in the WNBA, but the U.S. Women's National Team. These are top tier professional athletes striving for greatness, and there's an appetite for it. Whether you like it or not, that's on you, but the game is going to continue to find ways to grow. And I think we're all seeking those those pathways. And that's where the conversation should be, not necessarily using the platform for the others.
I'm glad, Chinee, I'm glad you brought up, the idea of the platform, but also Freddie, when you're talking about ESPN and this podcast, you know, I think there are moments like Draymond said, you know, a lot of people like to say that they're invested in women's sports, that they care, but are you checking in on, you know, whether it be every weekend, weekly, regular season, whatever, is it just tournament time? Do you buy merchandise? Do you buy jerseys? Are you invested with the podcast? You know, I think right now it's good to amplify different voices. Are you going to keep that energy? That's the question. You know, when Draymond spoke, and I will disagree with him, your message was not misconstrued. You said what you said, so that's what we're responding to. But you know, are people going to keep that same energy? I think, you know, the pendulum swings. You know, people say, oh, this is what's hot right now. Like, oh, we got to make sure that, you know, we're more PC. And then we drift back to, okay, let's do it the way we've always done it. We can't do it the way we've always done it. We have to, you know, we have to open up the doors and put more seats around the table. And people that have, you know, positions of power, people that have those platforms that can do right by other people and give people that don't have, that have a tiny microphone, a megaphone. Draymond's voice is loud. We heard it all week.
Well, you got to hold people.
You got to hold people accountable. And we are doing that. We're doing that with him. And he will be a better ally is my that's my thought. I think he realized this week.
The fact that we're having this conversation.
And in the spirit of the podcast, Yes, and I just like, in the spirit of our First Take Hurt Take podcast, as women that are trying to push boundaries, our DMs professionally are open. If you want to reach out, if you want to do business, if you want to invest, we love to hear from you. So don't just step to the podium and say, hey, what are you doing? Like, if you have the means, which Draymond definitely does have the means, which we're very grateful that he's an ally, step to us. You know, we've been taking this uphill battle. You can step towards us as well, and we can meet in the middle.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
All right, it's Friday. So what do you say we have a little bit of fun? There are some videos that have been circulating, some things that are some eyebrow raisers. We're going to take a look at them, and I want to get all of your genuine reactions. So the segment, naturally, is called Take a Look. So let's get started with our first video. First up, we have some action from the Masters, Rory McIlroy, accidentally hitting his father, Jerry, in the back of the leg with this wayward shot on Thursday. That's actually very impressive aim, if you ask me. What? Kimberly, what did you think when you saw that? That's crazy. What are the chances?
That honestly, I would do something like that on purpose if my mom was out there. That's actually great aim. I know that's not where he was going, but that's actually quite perfect.
Do you get the sense that Roy McIlroy said, there's my dad, and I forgot, I remember the time that he put me to bed early with no dinner at 12. I'll fix him. Whap.
No, for real, Freddie, because that's so funny, because when he gets hit, and he probably recognized that this was his son, you know that hit was going to hit different. It was a different kind of match. It's like, oh, I got hit. Hold up. You know what I mean? But obviously, we're glad that everyone's okay. But, you know, as a parent, he was probably big mad. And the good news is that, you know, his father was fine. He really took one for the team. But look, if I'm mad and I'm like, it's my sister's and I'm swinging, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a magnet in there. And they will hold that against me forever.
Really?
You ever get a basketball to the face by one of your sisters?
Oh.
No, but apparently my sister, Becca, alleges that I elbowed her in the face. Yeah, at Stanford. And she's like, I'm coming for you. And at that moment, I was like, okay, when I get to the pros, I probably need to play with her than play against her, because then I ran off the court. And I was like, Coach, water. I need water. And they're like, what's wrong? I was like, no, don't ask me why. And so we're teammates now. It's
a good plan. Yeah.
So,
yeah,
so you were guilty. It's what you're telling us. You were guilty.
I don't think we're gonna get
the real answer to this one right now. But let's move on to our next video, because this one is good. This is something you do not see every day. Mets outfielder Michael Conforto gets hit by a strike. Watch this. Sticking his elbow out just a little bit. He gets a walk-off win. The umpires conferred that the controversial call was not reviewable. Later, the home plate umpire told a pool reporter that he had seen a replay after the game and had made a mistake. Oh my gosh, and Conferto.
Here's the thing.
Did you see him high-five his teammate at the end when they said it wasn't reviewable and they got the win as a result?
Here's what gets me about this. A lot of things. You know, I probably would be petty enough to do it on purpose myself, but the umpire was getting ready to call him out and then was like, oh, wait, never mind. Like, they were going to make the right call. And the whole review thing, don't even get me started. But Conforto actually post-game was like, yeah, you know, a little reflex. I don't know, you know, sometimes your arm just kind of goes out a little bit. Yeah, I don't know about all that.
It's not terrible strategy. I mean, is it right? I don't know. Chiney, what do you think?
Well, it's funny because it always takes me back to that commercial where people think that athletes have to be like, no, coach, I touched the ball last. They should have the ball and have a chance to win the game. We ain't built that way. We're going to take a win however it comes. But Kimberly, you are absolutely right. I was listening to Buster Olney, and he said that at this point, there's no option to make that reviewable. And when the stakes are that high, I mean, this needs to be under consideration. And you're right. It hurts double bad because the ump like had it right at first and then changed his mind, and then that changed the game, walk-off win. So, but as an athlete, you finessed one. Congrats. Kudos to you.
I'm just trying to figure out that umpire's right there. How do you miss that? You're right there. It's not like you're in the stands behind the plate. No, you're right there. Either you can hear it or not hear it, and just make the right call. It shouldn't take – I mean, he's right there. The catcher's here.
That's there. What Mattingly was probably screaming. was probably screaming, you're right there.
You're close to the sun, Freddie.
Right, you're 6 inches away. The mat – what, the sun was in your eyes? You're deaf? What, come on. You're right there as an umpire. How do you miss that?
Okay, well, we're going to get back to the MLB for this next video. And, Freddie, I want to get your reaction to this one first because this was unfortunate. Oh. Ouch. The umpire taking the worst of hits. Mm. Oh, my goodness. Freddie, look, you got to comment on this one because...
Can we go back to the last video? Because I like to see this.
Are you having sympathy pains?
I mean, as every red-blooded American male will tell you, there are certain videos that you don't want to see, and this is one of them to the 25th power. Even if you're not an athlete, can we just go back to the last video? I was much better.
You can't unsee that now, right?
That's the universe correcting itself, Freddie.
Please. If you have any heart
torturing Freddie
or any
video.
Soul, stop showing this to me, please.
I mean, it can't be the first time it's ever happened, though, right? I mean, no, I'm sure the umpires have gotten, at this point, probably hitting every square inch of their body, but.
I know the count was 1-0.
All right, let's move on.
That was the count.
Started off 0.
Yes. Let's move on to Ronaldo. This one has a little bit more of a feel-good effect to it. So everyone calm down just a little bit. Check out the Diesel. My man Shaq, he walks into a jewelry store and he helps this man buy an engagement ring by picking up the tab. How lucky is that guy?
Good Kimberly. Job, Shaq. Listen, I'm
well, you have a wedding ring on your finger.
I'm sure I do, and I'm sure my husband wishes Shaq was right next to him when he was buying it.
Just think if Shaq would have bought your first ring, you could have had a second ring on deck from your husband.
Hello. But kudos to Shaq. This video, I absolutely love it because a good deed never goes unpunished. I just think we need more of this in the world. And Shaq, he really does take pride in just giving people a smile, putting a smile on their faces. Yeah. You know, and that should be a lesson for us too. You know, if you're at the Starbucks drive-thru window, pay for the person behind you. Like, if you've got the means, like, just do something nice. Pay somebody a compliment. Hold a door open a little bit longer for somebody. This was just a very sweet video, and it restored my faith in humanity.
Yeah, we need a little bit of that sometimes.
And I saw a video on social media of Kyrie doing the same thing before going to a game, you know, helping a little kid that was selling, I think, chocolates or something. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's the stuff that we got to amplify. Thank you, First Take. But when I do have my boo, my man, locked down, Shaq, best believe I'm going to make sure he's friends with you so that we can get that ring.
Just make sure you're conveniently located to wherever Shaq might be, and make sure you definitely already have the upgrade figured out So then when you walk in, it's all situated.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also to add on to the story, about a couple of weeks before that, because Shaq didn't want this to become public. This video was put out there and somebody asked him about it. He said, I just want to make people smile. But a couple of weeks before that, he and his mother were in the furniture store and they had somebody they overheard somebody trying to pay for furniture with an autistic child. And Shaq paid for the person's furniture, mm-hmm. lock, stock, and barrel. And somebody said, why do you do this? He goes, mm-hmm. with all that's going on in the world, I want to do everything I can to try to make it a better place and see people smile. So those are the kind of things. Who knows how many times Shaq has done this that has never been made public mm-hmm. by just going out and just doing it because it's the right thing to do and the best thing to do.
For a lot more times than we realize. Love that's awesome. That's inspiring. Let's all do something nice for someone else.
Stop showing that baseball umpire video. That'll be the nicest thing you can do for me today. Stop showing that.
Sorry about that, Freddie.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Okay, it is comical how much we have been talking about Draymond Green, but the man is the ultimate shade thrower recently. Yesterday, we debated his comments towards female athletes and pay inequality, and now he's coming for the younger players he faces on the court. On Kevin Durant's podcast, he said, quote, "There's more talent around the league than there's ever been. From a talent standpoint, the league is in a good space, but as pure basketball lovers who love competition at the highest level, I think they got a catch up in that department. They soft as hell. I found myself trying to talk blank to some of these young dudes that won't talk, and they're like trying to be a friend. That's what these young dudes do nowadays. I don't understand it." Man! Okay, Freddie, the fact that he's calling these young players soft as hell, is this fair or is it foul?
It's foul because here's where it's coming from. He's saying that these guys are soft because they won't engage in trash talking with them, thinking, well, wait, what? That's like plaids and stripes. That don't match when he's trying to make his argument if you're Draymond Green. It's one thing you want to say that guys aren't as tough as when you first got to the league or before you got to the league. Then I could sort of see that because, yeah, pace and space NBA, you can't just out-physical people. But your reasoning, Draymond Green, as smart and as sharp as you are, is because guys don't want to go down that rabbit hole with you of engaging in trash talk. That makes them soft. If anything, that makes them completely strong to not fall for that from a guy of your circumstance, a three-time champion, that you are when it comes to Draymond Green. Any great player, anybody wants to be a great player, you don't allow people you don't believe are as great as you to pull you down to their level. Draymond's been a terrific teammate, a great player at times for the Golden State Warriors. But at 31 years of age, if he has to engage in these kind of talk histrionics that try to bring guys down to his level and then call them soft as you know what because they won't engage, Draymond, you're a smart dude. Come on, man. Be a lot smarter than that.
So are you, Freddie. Talk histrionics. I see you flexing the vocabulary. Now, again. He was talking with Kevin Durant on his podcast, and you know that got spicy, so I take everything with a grain of salt. But Draymond did also say that young players, they are talented, mm-hmm. and he said, you know, soft as hell, and we know that Some of it comes to trash talk because people don't really have an appetite for that anymore. But if we learned anything today, Draymond Green absolutely needs someone to help him with his translation because he's very confrontational, because he's always on one, on 100, on 10. And that's made him great. That's the quality that's made him great as a defensive player of the year. But it's also made him go viral for being misconstrued. But if I'm looking at the young crop of players, you know, I don't think he should be talking like and identifying young in general, because we've got Zion, we've got young LaMelos, we've got Lucas that are not soft, that are ready to take over the league. And just because they don't trash talk doesn't make them soft. It just means that they're a new generation, which is why I think he's talking about pretty much more so the evolution of players with brands and business. And, you know, it may seem like a distraction at time. You can step to the game maybe with a sense of entitlement or maybe not an appreciation for guys that do the dirty work like Draymond Green, that do the defensive work. Maybe it's look past, because if you get buckets, if you have 20, if you have 30, if you have 40, that's what we celebrate, not necessarily those other ways of the past. And I think that's what probably hurts Draymond. And maybe he's trying to elevate, but we've realized that, you know, as he tries to elevate, it sort of sometimes seems like hate. And it's not just the young players feeling it. A lot of women feel that too, but I think he's correcting himself.
Yeah, Draymond, a good Draymond point goes left real quick. He sounds, honestly, to me, like a senior complaining about the freshman. He really sounds like an old dude, you know, shouting at the clouds. Old man yelling at the clouds, like, ah! Like, you know, to me, it just feels like if the issue, to me, so the issue, it's not the talent that we're seeing on the court. Because he even said there's a lot of talent. The game's still entertaining. A lot of guys in the MVP conversation. A lot of points being put up every night. The game has changed. The game does evolve. I'm sure there's some old heads who don't like the fact that these super teams are being formed, that NBA teams are just collecting dudes like Infinity Stones. I'm sure there are old heads that don't like that. But the game has evolved. It's changed. I used to love refs calling traveling. They don't do that anymore. But the game, it is what it is. I used to hate that the game turned into an ISO thing. Okay, fine. But the game evolves. Like I just feel like we're just, I don't know. Draymond is somebody who likes to get in people's heads and wants to have that combative thing where he's like, okay, I'm in between here. I got you. And they're not, these kids aren't playing that game. They don't want to. So who looks crazy now? Because he's trying to do some Jedi mind tricks and it's not working. So at the end of the day, he just, I get it. Just no more Draymond talk this week. Don't say nothing else.
It's not just to us, Kimberly.
You sound like you're complaining. It sounds like you're complaining too much, Draymond.
Basically, Kimberly compared Draymond Green to Sidra and Monica McCall in Love and Basketball. Never let a freshman take your spot. That's basically what Kimberly just did. She made Draymond Green Sidra and the softest held dudes, Monica McCall, trying to chase his spot. That's what Kimberly Martin just did.
And you know who remembering their names, exactly. You knew all the details.
All right. Freddie bringing it today. Freddie on fire.
Okay, guys, let's move on to our next discussion, because we have talked about so much this week on First Take. So here's what we're going to do. We're flashing back to a few conversations from earlier and breaking down where we stand on the topics with today's panelists. Okay, so now we turn to Sam Darnold, whose time in New York with the Jets, it's over after being dealt to the Panthers. So the Panthers will be sending a 6th-round pick this year and a 2nd and a 4th-round pick next year to New York in exchange for Darnold. So let's listen on this NFL conversation between Max and Stephen A. from Tuesday.
Stephen A., I'm going to start with you, though. Who got the better of the deal?
Me personally, I think it's the Carolina Panthers. They've got a 23-year-old quarterback that I think has a lot of promise. Listen, I don't blame Sam Darnold for what he endured. What did he have to work with? What was the running game he had to work with? What were the receivers that he had to work with? As a matter of fact, their best receiver at one time ended up, Robbie Anderson, ended up going to the Carolina Panthers anyway, if I remember correctly. And so when you look at it from that perspective, let's call it what it is. Sam Darnold was contaminated by Adam Gase, who should have never been the head coach of the New York Jets to begin with. If Sam Darnold was in this year's NFL draft, he would have been a top three pick. That's who you give away. You get a fourth round pick, you get a sixth round pick. I mean, come on now. I'm just saying he's 23 years old and he didn't have good coaching. He didn't have a good organizational structure. The Jets are notoriously dysfunctional. Sam Darnold gets a fresh start. Okay, working for a coach and playing for a coach who can coach. I think we all know he can coach, all right? And the Carolina Panthers organization is just a better organization than the New York Jets. I think they win in this.
Now, you can say what you want about Sam Darnold's talent, everything. To me, when I've watched Zach Wilson, which I've done more over the last several weeks, oh, my God, I see what people see. I think he is specially talented. You now have four firsts, 3 seconds, 3 thirds, 3 fourths. You have a potentially franchise quarterback in Zach Wilson, and at least you don't have 3 years of book on him saying, it's not trending in the right direction. You don't have to pay him yet, and you have an embarrassment of riches in the draft to build around him. That's taking a shot. That's taking your swing, not getting cheated if you're the Jets. I think they did the right thing. And I think by moving Sam Darnold and taking Zach Wilson and getting a second, a fourth, and a sixth, they won the trade.
Okay, Kimberly, let's start with you. Who do you think got the better end of the Darnold trade? Was it the Panthers or the Jets?
Good job, Max. Good job. I was a little worried about that earlier segment, the Durant and KD.
There you go.
I was a little worried. But Max, you came through. This is what I would say to Stephen A. Because, yes, was Sam Darnold contaminated? Yes, he was. Did the Jets contaminate Sam Darnold by hiring Adam Gase? Yes, they did. But the Jets are the real winners. The Jets are the real winners because they don't have to pick up that Sam Darnold option. Because it's easy, I will say to Stephen A, it's real easy to say the Jets should definitely rehabilitate Sam and definitely, you know, try to win with Sam. When your job is not on the line, Stephen A. will still be on this set. He will still be here on this show, regardless of whether Sam Darnold's career goes like this or like that, or whether Zach Wilson's career goes like this or like that. Because the stakes don't, it's different when you're in that seat. This is a new GM, a relatively new GM to this organization. He did not draft Sam Darnold. It's a new head coach in Robert Saleh. They have no ties to him. Their focus is what puts us in the best situation for us to become like the Baltimore Ravens, like the Packers, like very good organizations, like the Steelers, organizations that are used to perpetually winning year in and year out. That's their goal. It's not to do right by Sam and make Sam feel better. He got a raw deal. But there are a lot of QBs, a lot of players in the NFL that get a raw deal. Sam Darnold wins by getting out of New York. But the Jets win because they don't have to figure out how to make Sam better or is he the guy. They say they've identified the QB that they believe in. That's all that matters. They could be wrong or right, but they believe that we assume it's Zach Wilson. So now we're going to see the Zach Wilson show in New York.
Go ahead, Freddie.
As a Jets fan, believe me, I still wish Sam Darnold was there. That's why I think the Carolina Panthers got the better of the deal, and here's why.
We argued about this on your radio show. We did.
And I have not changed my position. I'm not going to change my position. I think the Jets got the right guy in terms of Robert Saleh being a head coach. And, Kimberly, I'm with you in terms of Joe Douglas and a head coach will be on the same page. Because for the last couple of years, it was the Adam Gase show. And, boy, they should have closed that show from Broadway the minute it opened up after the first night. Because that guy cannot be a head coach in the NFL ever again, in my opinion. But I still believe that the Jets, Sam Darnold got the better of this deal. I think the Carolina Panthers got the better of this deal. Mm-hmm. But I still think Sam Darnold, 23 years of age, still has a lot to go on and a lot to be playing for. And also have the ability to live up to that ability. He's going to get that. With Matt Rhule and the Carolina Panthers and Christian McCaffrey coming back from injury and at least having wide receivers. So I guess I don't trust the Jets drafting Zach Wilson being that guy's going to be a better option for you than Sam Darnold. To me, it's not all about rehabilitation. It's about a guy that believes they can still be a quality quarterback in the NFL and won't get that chance in New York, but will get that chance in Carolina. That's why I think they won the deal.
Mm-hmm. And this is where your girl comes in with the verdict. okay? Because y'all are beefing. Y'all are on two different sides. And I know this started off with Panthers versus Jets, but I think Freddie's right. The biggest winner is Sam Darnold. I mean, he had a low-key function slash party when he celebrated, hey, I've got a greener pastures to go to, because he has had three tumultuous seasons with a depleted roster, unstable coaching. So fly, butterfly, fly. He's had two head coaches and a GM fired while he was there with the Jets. And now he's tag teaming with who? Joe Brady, Matt Rhule, very respected. You can point to your weapons. You can see him, like my Stanford man, Christian McCaffrey. You got DJ Moore, that synergy back with Robbie Anderson. And I think that the Panthers, on top of it, got probably the better side of this play based on, you know, Sam Darnold's upside. Three picks starting at the second round, fourth, and I believe the sixth. Not too bad for the third overall pick, you know, in 2018. And this is where I think it's different, Kimberly. The peer pressure is on, especially for this quarterback draft class, when it comes to the Jets. I mean, clearly they have two, and that's a great pick to have. But which quarterback will be the real winner of this overall draft class? I mean, Trevor Lawrence has an opportunity going one. Is it the quarterback that gets plug and played into Kyle Shanahan's system? Will he thrive? Will it be Zach Wilson and the Jets now finally, you know, having a new coach on the same synergy? Will it be Matt Jones? Will it be Justin Fields? You know, Trey Lance? There's a lot of peer pressure in this quarterback class that a lot of people will look to the Jets and say, like, all right, you chose him. Was he the right guy? Because we parted with Sam Darnold for those reasons.
And I think because of that move to back.
Yeah, no one knows. Listen, listen here. No one knows if the Jets are going to get it right, because the Jets rarely do. So that's fine. But we'll wait and see. You got to give him benefit of the doubt, new regime. When we talk about the potential of Sam Darnold, I think he'll be great in Carolina. However, when you talk about the potential of Sam Darnold, how many teams, when they had an option, a lot of quarterback needy teams went a different direction, whether it be Chicago, whether it be, there were a lot of different teams out there that needed a QB and could have gotten Sam Darnold. And the Carolina Panthers were the one suitor in the end that said, yes, we really want him. So if you're going to talk about a lot of potential, I would think the line would be a little bit longer, and teams would have been a little bit more determined to get him if they were certain that Sam is actually going to turn around. That's all.
I'll say
I guess we'll wait another year to really evaluate Sam Darnold and his abilities, because as of right now, he ranks second to last among qualified passers in QBR since being drafted 3 years ago. But we'll give him another year, all right? We'll see if it was really his own weaknesses that he can blame on himself, or maybe it was just the organization. Let's talk about the Masters as they roll on in Augusta, and the obvious absence of five-time winner Tiger Woods. Max and Stephen A. debated whether we'll ever see him back at the top. Let's watch. Max, will Tiger ever win another major?
I believe he will. And maybe it's like just being optimistic, but he seemed like the reports have been, and he's reported that he's at home, he's recovering, he's continuing rehab. The prognosis, as far as I understand, is that once the major injury, like it heals up and then he has to rehab the muscles and stuff like that, if he's able to walk again, he should be able, in my view, to play golf again. And I think he will be so motivated at this point to win a major, and you get four bites at the apple or potentially every single year, and you can play, you know, until later in your life in golf. This is not basketball, very athletic game we're talking about. I'm going to say he'll have enough bites at the apple going forward when he gets together, and Stephen A., maybe more importantly, be motivated enough to write the final chapter of his golf career on his terms, that eventually he will, in fact, win another major.
Max, I sure hope you're right, but I have to confess to you, I don't believe it for one second. It is golf that we're talking about here, and I understand that. It's not like it's football or anything. But those injuries seem pretty significant when you talk about broken ankles, broken bones. He almost killed himself and whatever. Not like intentionally. I'm certainly not implying that. I'm just talking about the car accident, the severity of the car accident itself. At age 45, to ask yourself to rehabilitate yourself when you were having a tough time doing that before the car accident, I just don't see it. I'd be shocked if he pulled it off. I'd be very, very happy and proud of him if he did. Not that that matters. But I do think that it's a tall order to ask. I think it's entirely too much, and I just can't see him doing it.
Yeah, his injuries were very significant. They almost had to amputate his leg. So, Freddie, what do you think? Do you think Tiger's ever going to win another major?
I don't think Tiger's ever going to win another tournament, to be honest with you, because Stephen A. said it right. He's 45 years of age. He's going to be 46 at the end of this year. Even with rehab and therapy and everything else, it could be another two and a half years potentially that we might see Tiger Woods back on the golf course. So that puts him at 47, 48 years of age. I would love to be completely wrong. And betting against Tiger Woods, you can do that at your own peril. But I go back to that accident, ladies. We're lucky to still have Tiger Woods on planet Earth. When you're going 84 to 87 miles an hour in a 45-mile-per-hour zone and you hit a tree at 75 miles an hour, we are lucky that Tiger Woods is going to have the ability to live on planet Earth, much less play golf. I'm more into Tiger Woods being the best father and the best citizen he can be. He does that. That's a victory. The golf course stuff is immaterial to me. I don't think we're going to ever see him win another major or another tournament, but to me, that's immaterial. I'm just glad that Tiger Woods is still around to live on planet Earth and not worry about playing golf.
Absolutely, yeah, on board, Freddie, with you, Freddie. You know, I just want Tiger to get out there on the green after this recovery, just to touch the green and be able to have a little bit of that joy that the game has brought him, because he's given so much to the game. And, you know, this conversation is really where expectations have to really change, especially when it comes to perception, because for someone as accomplished as Tiger Woods, it's all about right now, icing on the cake. Very similar for us with Serena Williams. We get so caught up with 24, tying a Margaret Court's record, that we miss celebrating Serena's greatness as an active athlete, you know, a living legend that's out there still competing. So to put those expectations on Tiger to win another major is tough, because I think even just stepping back out there for a major after the multiple surgeries, which, mind you, are in double-digit numbers, that is a win for him at this point.
Guys, the fact that we're even talking about Tiger walking again, Tiger being lucky to be alive, like that's some serious stuff. And that's why, you know, your first reaction is say, I don't even care. I'm glad that he's alive. But, you know, some people are just built differently. I think, you know, we just watched an NFL season where Alex Smith was able to come back from almost getting his leg amputated. I understand it's a different sport. I don't count Tiger out. If he puts his mind to it and he wants to do it and he's driven, he can. But it's a tough, tough task.
Absolutely. You can never say never when it comes to the greatest athletes of all time. But ladies, Freddie, thank you so much. I had so much fun with you. Stephen A. and Max are back on Monday. And don't forget, you can watch the Masters live on ESPN starting at 3. See you later.